Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Robin Williams is a man that is loved by many. Known for his comedic genius and his passionate acting, he's someone that fully embodied every character he played. Robin seemed to take new life lessons from every movie he worked on. In many interviews, he speaks of the experiences he had working on the 1989 film Dead Poets Society with director Peter Weir. He states that Peter is more than just a director, he's also a teacher.
There's been no movie that I've walked away from, even the ones that didn't do well, where you don't go, I learned a lot. You know.
What about Dead Poets Society with Peter Weir?
One of the greatest experiences. It was incredible. It was the true learning experience, because Peter's more than a director, he's a teacher. I don't know anybody who's worked with him that comes away going, well, that was nice. You come away a different person. He infuses you, like when we were doing that movie, he gave us poetry, he gave us music. He played music during takes. They would just get you into this incredible spirit and very inspiring. I remember when the boys stood on their desk, I was going, this is very powerful. I looked over and I saw a teamster crying and I went, okay, this is really working. But it was, this inspirational movie where, it's the first time I did a film where people were touched beyond the movie, where they went to change their lives, and I hope for the better. Many people said they became teachers. I went, oh, good luck. Especially picking that profession in America where you know that's going to be really, you have to be dedicated to be that.
I'm with Peter Weir, who was an amazing director.
Did you tone yourself down a bit for that? He was as off the wall as you.
Yeah, often. But he said basically that, you know, there's no need. Man lives, just let his ideas speak for that and commit to the ideas. He was the one that said, just because you say action, you don't necessarily have to act, you know, which is great. It's a very freeing thing to say, just be in it. And that's great. It was wonderful.
In The Fisher King, Robin plays a man who becomes catatonic after witnessing his wife's death. It's a difficult film to break down due to the many complex layers it possesses. Even Robin has a hard time explaining the meaning of the film, although his words will do much more justice than mine.
It's about a lot of things, but it's a little difficult to grasp in like 2 seconds.
I don't think you can tell him about one thing. I think that's what it doesn't come and say. It's about trust. It's about compassion, it's about pain, and then you start getting this list of, if in anything, the core of it is about, it is about compassion. And it's in that sense, it uses that Christian myth of the Fisher King, which is about the nature of compassion and what is it. And it is not out looking all over the place when it's, you know, it is right there in front of you and dealing with the simplest pains. To see someone, it's like the last line of the thing, I didn't see a king, I only saw a man who was thirsty. It's that simple, and it has to be a fool who does it. And it seems, it almost sounds Buddhist in the way it is. You know, it's like something that's so simple, but yet so lost in most people.
The story of the Fisher King.
It isn't, people say, is this movie about homelessness? No, it's about damaged people. You know, who he has, in essence, a home. He lives in a basement of a building, but it's about dealing with people more than just on the level of, you know, if I give enough money, they'll go away. That doesn't deal.
So we're trying to get their life together.
You know, about four people trying to get their lives together and through connection with other people. And in the end, that's all you have, you know. There's this incredible loneliness that you can experience to the point where he creates a whole other person to deal with, to come out of, to find, you know, to find redemption, to find himself again from a horribly traumatic event that happens every other day in America.
It's just about impossible to talk about Robin Williams without mentioning his comedies. There's many teachings to pull from his serious roles, but even his comedies offer a substantial amount of wisdom. Here, Robin relates the 1992 film Toys to concerns he has for the younger generation.
kids have too many toys in this country. In the West, indeed, kids have too many toys.
It may be true. It also, I think they have toys that don't allow them to use their imagination.
So many toys have forgotten how to play.
Yeah, because when you have that many things, you're just kind of inundated. You can see that sometimes when they go, where do I begin? And they also have toys that do everything for them so they don't have to create it. I mean, they have interactive toys. They have the ones that, good morning, how are you? I'm always frightened that those interactive ones, you're going to wake up one day and have a little knife going, I don't like daddy. These are the things you have to, you have to remember that. Even video games, you know. I play them with my son, but it seems like everything is done for you. You don't have to imagine it. Yeah. There's also a dangerous thing because you tend to just be focused on the game and you won't relate to each other. You just be like this.
In the cartoon Fern Gully, he raises awareness for the Australian rainforest. He also relates to American forests in this interview.
When I did that cartoon Fern Gully, which was trying to just make a point, just to try and, you know, teach a little awareness on that level.
Was an Australian setting?
Yeah, it was on the Australian rainforest, which you're losing at a rapid rate, and so are we. Everyone, they're cutting them down. In America, I mean, everyone talks about the Amazonian rainforest, but America has lost more of their old-growth, incredible woods than any place, and they're all gone. And it's usually just to sell to Japanese for, you know, for paneling.
Do people want to hear Robin Williams tell them that? Don't we want a comedian to divert us from problems we can do nothing about?
Yeah, you could, and it'd be quite nice, and then eventually we'll all be doing comedy, and I'll be going, don't you just hate it when your oxygen filter backs up? I mean, you can divert or you can make people aware of it, and that's what comedy can do without, you know, stuffing it down your throat, you know?
Many people consider Robin Williams one of the greatest comics and actors of all time, but where is it he gets the inspiration from?
I think that sometimes when I perform, that it's just you open yourself up and things pass through you, like a good vowel movement. You let it go and you find ideas that way. I don't know where they come from and I don't bother asking.
For a man that sheds so much light, it's hard to see where the dark side of Robin Williams comes from. A Robin Williams quote that sticks out to me is, "All it takes is a beautiful fake smile to hide an injured soul, and they will never notice how broken you really are." It makes me wonder how much time he spent hiding behind his own fake smile.
Yeah, at times like that, you understand that that Marceau piece that he does that's so frightening, where the man is caught in the comic mask.
Yeah, I used to do a thing about that too, about called Celebrity, about this man standing on a guy with a big smile, goes home and takes off like.
And is a monster. But
yeah, it's like a whole bizarre thing, because sometimes maintaining that is a very scary thing.
And not being able to get out of it.
Yeah, it's true. You said about sometimes being on, that people want you to be a certain way. And sometimes you can't help but be depressed, or, you know, just the nature of being.
How do you work through that? All performers do experience kind of depression. And I once saw a show of Steve Martin's that I thought was quite good. And he said I wasn't really feeling funny that night, but I worked my way through it.
We have autopilot. I mean, there's something in your way. There'll be certain things that you know you can do that will work, but for me, I love to take the chances and improvise. That's when I'm really, that's the greatest high in the world, when you're trying new stuff or getting suggestions and playing and doing new things. Mm-hmm. That's my favorite. That's the unknown, the special land.
Robin was quite open about his problems with substance abuse over the years. But how did his addictions begin? And where does someone find the courage to step away from these habits?
But do you remember getting into it?
Getting into it? No.
Was it a gradual thing?
Or? It was very gradual. It's just, and you're off, you know, off and running.
Of course, there are people who would say, why did you ever need cocaine?
It's a bit redundant.
You're as fast without it as the heaviest cocaine addict would be.
Yeah, it's that weird thing. But I think I did it because it would actually allow me not to talk. It was like, you know, reverse medication. You know, why they give Ritalin to hyperactive children is that idea of kind of, oh, okay, I don't have to talk to people. It just kind of shuts you down, which is, you know.
How hard was it to break the grip the second time around?
Not hard once you go to rehab. I mean, rehab
really?
Is, that's the beginning of kind of, you know, the idea is you got to surrender. You got to just say, I can't do it. Because, you know, I went to rehab with a lot of doctors and psychiatrists. I mean, the more intelligent you think you are, the harder it is to let go. You think, I've got a solution. I'll just drink a little bit. And then you have to go, nope, you lose. You can't do it. You need help. And at that point, that's the beginning.
The best-known Robin Williams quote, I think, is that cocaine is God's way of showing you that you're earning too much money.
Yeah, because I knew people that just literally, you know, snorted their income, you know, the Colombian College Fund. The truth is, a lot of times, you don't have to pay for it if you're famous, because people want to give it to you, because it somehow gives them control over you, because once you're really into it, you'll do anything. You'll talk to people that you normally wouldn't talk to in daylight. but you'll hang out with them till 4 o'clock in the morning. And that's what's ludicrous.
Why did you do it so much?
I don't know, because people said, do you have a drug problem? I said, no, everybody has it. Everyone offers it to you at a certain point. It's just developing that skill, which is what they try and teach children, to say, no, there's no need. Why? If you don't enjoy it, why do you keep doing it? Because it's everywhere. And part of me figured out later that it was just this desire. It was a great way to kind of avoid contact with people. As much as it was like partially meeting them, but it was also you pulling back. It's so nice now to have conversations with people.
How did you get off it?
Just realized this is ridiculous. I was about to have a child, and I didn't want to be going, hey, it's at 4 o'clock in the morning, want to play with Dad? I wanted to be able to not miss that.
With drinking, you're jumping over the edge. There was a guy who jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge, and he survived. And they said, do you have anything to say? He said, yes. Halfway down, I thought it was a bad idea. And I had 20 years sober, and then all of a sudden I thought, I could drink again. No, you can't.
On August 11th, 2014, one of the most funny and influential people in the world passed away. Rest in peace, Robin. Your legacy will live forever.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.